send him out with your grace, power, love, and protection. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. God is good. That's right. I'd like for you to do something this morning. I'm going to pray one more time, but let's turn in our Bibles this morning. Believe it or not, we're going to be in Galatians next in a couple of weeks, but let's turn back to 2 Corinthians, and I want you to go to chapter 5. We're going to be jumping around just a little bit this morning. Chapter 5, and we're going to camp on a verse that you know very well, verse 17, for a little bit. But right now, let's pray one more time. Father, we praise you. We thank you again for Uriah, his family, Lord, all that you're calling him to do. But now, Lord, I pray that every heart and every ear, or all ears, are open. Those that are listening live, wherever they may be, in their homes, in their cars, whatever they're doing, and everyone in this chapel, that, Lord, we give for the next few minutes our total and perfect attention to your word. Thank you for your presence, because I know you're here. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us at this place called Calvary Chapel. Now, Lord, help me to teach your word faithfully, accurately, and let me say nothing except the things that you would have me say. Use me now for your glory, and may Jesus be glorified in all that we do in this place. In Christ's name we pray. And the church says, amen. You're at 2 Corinthians. I'll be there in just a moment. You know, I've entitled this message, if you will, I don't know if you recall, but when we were going through 2 Corinthians, which happens to be one of my favorite books, when we went to chapter 5 and we covered everything in chapter 5, which is one of the greatest chapters in 2 Corinthians, it talks about, you know, about the new creation, our ambassadorship in Christ, and so on. And I think if I remember, I said, you know what, we could actually spend a lot of time, sermon after sermon, on all the great doctrines that are taught in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Now, with all that being said, I've just entitled the sermon this morning, A Postscript, okay? In other words, I've just kind of added another thought to 2 Corinthians. Now, the word new, for example, in 5:17, what does it say? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away, all things become new. New is a wonderful word. Do you remember your first new car? Lord, do you see what I'm dealing with? I mean, let me go teach with the nursery people. They're happy in there, you know. No, come on. You know how it was, that new car? How about, or when you newly engaged, or the new baby, you follow me? Or the new home. That was a big one, wasn't it? Or when you got your first new job. Now, with all that being said, did you know that the word new is used 175 times in the Word of God? But here's my question to you now. Is there really anything new in this world? Boy, you first service, I never can get anything over on you guys. You know what I mean? No, listen to Ecclesiastes 1:9. It says, that which has been, Solomon says, is what will be, and that which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which may be said, see, this is new? No, it has already been in ancient times before us. Now, with that scripture from Solomon that he recorded for us by the power of the Holy Spirit, you might be saying, well, now, Bill, there's a lot of new things that occur all the time. Well, that's true. There's incredible new technology all the time, right? Okay. Matter of fact, I was just the other day, you know, I was doing my shopping for suitcases and so forth. I don't know if you've seen the new suitcase by Oritz, brand new and this year, has face recognition, has GPS, and it can travel behind me at the speed of 6 miles an hour. Only $799. Did you know that really is true? I was looking, I would never... It was fun to watch it, okay? Now, but with all that being said, everything that is new comes from what has always been on this earth. Amen? Listen, it is God. Everything on this earth is created by God, not by man, all right? You remember Thomas Alva, what was it? Thomas Edison. great, one of the greatest inventors of all time. You know what he said? He said this about his inventions. He said, all they were bringing out the secrets of nature, meaning the earth, and applying them for the happiness of mankind. Now, before we begin our study this morning, it's very, very important that you realize that knowledge, meaning Bible knowledge, is only helpful if it leads to you putting it into action. Application. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, this morning, it is vital, because this is probably part one of a message, I'm not for sure yet, on this postscript this morning. It is so easy for new creations, born-again believers, if they've been in the church or if they've been 5 years into being a new creation, it's real easy, and they don't mean to, but it becomes so familiar to you that it kind of just goes right over your head. Don't let the doctrine of deadly familiarity keep you or rob you of about the things I'm going to say this morning. Is that a deal? Very important. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 2:1, it says this. He says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things, or the attention rather, to the things we have heard, that's past tense, and then he says, lest we drift away. That's an incredible word study in the Greek, by the way. It's a picture of a wedding ring, for example, on your finger, and you know how sometimes they can just slip off in the middle of the night and you don't even know it. Or it could be like a thought from the Word of God, that just simply you hear it, but it just slides right through your mind unnoticed. Now listen carefully. Only our Father in heaven, only God can create new things. Only God. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and it was without void. It was full of confusion. It was a wasteland, if you will, okay? The Holy Spirit was hovering, it says, over the darkness of the deep. And God said, let there be what? Light. Light was. Only God can create. The word create in Genesis 1:1 is the Hebrew word bara, which means to create something, but to create it out of absolutely nothing that has never existed. Do you follow me? Is that an incredible statement? I mean, just can you imagine? I mean, when's the last time you tried to create something out of nothing? You can't do it. No one has ever done that. Listen, man can shape things, man can build things, but man cannot create anything from something that is not existing. Does that make sense? God just said it. The power of God. Man, that is, to me, it just blows me completely away. It says in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed or literally held together. It says, by the word, meaning the spoken word of God, that the things which are seen, all the visible things that we see right now, it says, were not made of things which are seen that are visible. They were made out of nothing. Now listen. To believe the universe, to believe that the world exists, doesn't require any faith at all. We can just see it, amen? But to look at the stars, the suns, the moon, this planet, the galaxies, to see all that God has done and believe that he just simply spoke and it was done, that takes great faith, amen? It takes faith to believe, and we do believe that. Listen, isn't it amazing that we walk, we sleep, we live, we travel on a world that was literally spoken into existence by things that never existed before? Now, that blows me away. Now, listen very carefully about being a new creation. As you travel through what we call sanctification, going from glory to glory to glory, there are times that you may not feel like a new creation, but we don't walk by how we feel, do we? We walk by faith, not by sight. There may be times that you love one that you don't always act like a new creation. You want to, but sometimes you anger, whatever, you know what I mean. But you're still a new creation. Now listen. Everyone on this planet is either without Christ or in Christ. Does that make sense? Are you at verse 17 yet of chapter 5? Let's look at it together now. And I'm going to take my time, I pray, or however the Lord leads me, but look at this, just the simple, incredible, the deepest text in the world almost. It says, therefore, if anyone, anybody, doesn't matter who they are, if anyone, and there's that word that is in Christ, in the anointed one, in Christ the Messiah. Now listen, I have never, ever heard of anyone being in someone else. Have you? No, come on. Did you know that I don't care what founder of religion that we've had throughout the mankind, no one has ever been in that founder. No one was in Buddha, Confucius, or Muhammad. Do you understand me? But he, the founder of Christianity, the founder of the world, the Lord, he is in us. Do you understand? It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, we're no longer in Adam. We are in Christ, that personal, living, ongoing, everlasting union that can never be taken away from us with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? In Christ, we have a personal, living, ongoing, great, unbelievable union with the one who has all authority in heaven and all authority on earth. Amen? Now, I hope that you get this. So you're going to be built up with who you are in Christ. Listen, loved one, that's an incredible statement. I'm going to ask you, though, challenging you, is it still new to you that you're a new creation? Or has it become just too familiar? Okay, I'm a new creation in Christ. Is it too familiar to the church today? Is it too familiar to you at all? Listen, it says there, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, look at this now, he is what? New, that word, look at it, new creation. What does that word mean? It means something that was not previously existing. It never been before. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is an absolutely newly created being. Matter of fact, the Lord's calling right now to confirm it. Do you understand? Absolutely. Yes, loved one, listen, that's called the new birth. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God, the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Begotten us again. That is the birth, the new birth, new creations in Christ, partakers of his divine nature. 1:23 of Peter says this, having been born again. Not of corruptible seed. In other words, a seed that perishes, but incorruptible seed. And what is it? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever and ever and ever and ever. What does that scripture mean? It means that one day you heard the good news. You heard about Jesus Christ. And after you heard it, you believed in God's living word. And you know what happened to you when you became a new creation? 1,000 things occurred in you. Man, we should be on fire every day of our life. Do you understand? I look and I say, oh, Lord. See, we're not additions to the human race. No, loved one, no. In Christ, we have a new existence. See, the moment you were saved, it was a God-created moment. Matter of fact, in verse 18, where we are, it says all things are of God. It was a God-created moment. In other words, no different than before there was not any light ever. No light. No light on the planet or whatever. And it didn't even previously exist. God spoke and it was done. He created something out of nothing. That's what he did in your regeneration. Does that make sense? You became a brand new, never before species. You became what we call today a Christian. The Bible says in John 1:10 that Jesus, the Lord, that he came to his own people, his own nation, and they received him not or welcomed him not. They didn't want anything to do with him. But as many as received him, amen, as many as welcomed Jesus into their heart, he gave them the right to become the children of God to those that believe in his name. There's only one name that a person can be saved by, amen, Acts 4:12. Now, who were born, meaning born from above, not by blood, okay? Not in other words, a privilege of you know, your your DNA or whatever. No, not born above from blood, nor of the will of the flesh, meaning not your own power. Let me read it. Nor of the will of man. It wasn't your dad who created you. Do you understand? It made you born again. That was just a regular birth. It says, but they were born again by the power of God. Now, I want you to listen to me. Abraham said, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too difficult for God? Is there? Yes. Yes. Was it difficult for God to say to the universe that wasn't, to create something out of nothing, just to simply say, let there be light? And light was. Not any problem at all. The things that did not exist that he spoke into existence, they offered no resistance, no rebuttal. The light didn't say, why did you make me? Are you listening to me? It had absolutely no opposition at all. But oh, when it comes to us, when it comes to fallen man and Adam, oh, loved one, listen, they are so dead, spiritually dead, so dead. We were so dead in trespasses and sins. We lived for the world and didn't know we were living for the world. We went through the activities of physical life having absolutely no spiritual life. We were dead. I'm telling you, loved one, listen, we love darkness rather than light. Amen? We didn't know that, but we did. Not only that, just like Jeremiah said, he said, oh, and our hearts, were they bad? Oh, listen, our hearts were deceitful, it says in Jeremiah 17:9. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God says, and who can know it? I, the Lord. That's who we were. Loved one, not only that, I mean, we were blinded by the God of this age and a mind that believed lies rather than believe the truth of God. Are you following me? Our hearts were hard. We were stiff-necked. How many times did you, when someone presented Christ Jesus to you, did you say, I don't need this? Or come to church with me. No, thank you. I mean, you guys are all right, but you're freaky to me. You understand? How many times? Why'd you do that? God wooing you over and over and over and over. How many times did people present Jesus to you that you turned away? Well, if you were like me, many times. But I'm thankful that I didn't that last time. You see, it is difficult. Because, see, we have our own free will. Does that make sense? The stars don't have a free will. God's numbered them. He gave them a name. He's placed them. He knows where every one of them are. You follow me? But us, that free will that God gives unto us to break into it by his love and his grace and his power, all it takes is just a tiny drop of faith, because faith is faith. Amen? It says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is God who commanded the light to shine in the darkness. That was in Genesis of just a moment ago. I just read it. Who has shown in our hearts. Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now listen, the moment you said, save me, Lord, or Jesus, be my Lord, or whatever prayer you prayed that he honored, something happened inside of you. The old person, the old Adam, the old man, the light of God exploded through our hearts and into our minds. We became a brand new person that had never existed before. Are you with me? Man, I say, oh God, all the chaos, all the emptiness was displaced. All the darkness fled out of our hearts and our minds. And the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, rushed into us. Whereby it says, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, all that Christ is, all that Christ is in the new creation we have. Amen? The hope of glory. I look and I say, oh Lord, the joy of Jesus just came into me. The peace of Christ just came into my heart. That's what happens with a new creation. Amen? Not only that, the very life of Christ rushes into our hearts. The very love and power of Christ, it just rushes right into us. And we become a living, new creation. Someone was talking to me before the service and about, you know, and it was so exciting. It blessed me so greatly. I don't even have words to, but they said, she said to me, "Bill, this is real," meaning Jesus, meaning God, meaning the Holy Spirit, meaning the new birth. It's real. It's so real, it's ridiculous. And I went, praise God. Amen. That's what it is. It is real. Is it too familiar for you now, church? Is it too familiar? I'm a new creation. Is it just, no. It says, look now, old things have what? Passed away, severed from our lives, broken from our lives. In other words, an incredible, dramatic change has occurred. Your relationship with Adam, remember Adam? Man, is passed out of existence and will never, ever, you will never be in relationship with Adam again because you have been severed from that, which means you have now passed out of death over into life. Amen. That we have everlasting life living in us. We're under a new management. Satan has nothing to do with us. Oh, he can tempt us. He can do all those things, try to trip us up. Oh, no, he's defeated. But see, we didn't know he was defeated, did we, before we were born again? No, we've been translated out of the power of the kingdom of the power of darkness and translated or deported, whatever word you want to use, into the kingdom of God. Oh, listen, I am so thankful for that. We're not hell-bound. We're heaven-bound, loved one. Oh, and I celebrate. Not only that, there the moment that you finally, the new creation, man, here we are for the very first time in your life, something happened to you and you didn't even feel it. You were justified in the eyes of Almighty God. When you became a new creation, your sin was credited to Jesus and Jesus' righteousness was credited to you. His perfect standing with God, his perfect righteousness is accredited to you now. Not imparted. That's a false teaching, by the way. Imputed. Imputation, meaning to take what belongs to another and put over into your account. Loved one, we are new creations in Christ. Our sins, loved one, far as the east is from the west. Amen? Oh, they're gone. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no, never again, ever, for all eternity, no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Behold, look at it now. All things have become what? New. It has. Everything became new. The moment you were born again, whether you knew it, believe it, it happened. For the first time, you had a victory over the devil and you didn't even know that. And then you learned later on that, hey, I'm not ignorant of the devil's devices. Amen? You started growing in Christ. Then you started finding out, oh man, old things have passed away. I am now complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. Not only that, we are now seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Amen? Man, that is our position right this very moment. His life, the life of Christ, has now become our life. What did Paul say? It's no longer I who liveth in Galatians 2:20, but it is Christ who lives in me. Man, Jesus' love becomes our love. Romans 5:5, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. I say, oh Lord, sealed with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, endued with the Spirit. Man, loved one, you are a new creation in Christ. That should be fresh in your heart. Did you notice again? Look what it says. Behold, some things, all things have become what? New, newly made, never have been before. Man, I look at that. Do you remember how it was before you were saved? Somebody, you try to read the Bible. Okay, I'll read it. And you go, what is this? The begots, you know? You said, I'm not reading this. It doesn't even make any sense to you. But the moment you're born again, all of a sudden, the Bible becomes your favorite book. And you remember when you were a baby Christian, you read it over and over and over. I read the book of Acts about 20 times in one day. Do you know that? I went back all the way to the beginning. All the miracle, all the things. I was, oh, Lord. Man, you come near me. Come on. They thought I was a demon or something. Oh, no, listen. No, it was wonderful. You became alive to the Word of God. And then remember how you were learning the different books of the Bible? You thought Job was Job. I did. Why would somebody? Job. Who's Job? What a name to give a guy. Job. Come on. I didn't know. You knew, didn't you? Oh, yeah. Do you remember when your first prayer, your first baby prayer was answered? Or the first time you sensed and knew and you were terrified because you experienced, by God's grace, His manifested presence, which is holiness. He's holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Do you remember? Oh, that loved one, that is so special. All things have become new. Things are plural, not singular. There are so many things that have become new. Jesus is the mediator of the new what? New covenant. Yes, you know, we have a new commandment now. John 13, you know what it is, 34, 35, that Jesus said, you know, that a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's a new commandment, loved one. And now, matter of fact, we can approach God in a new and living way. Hebrews 10:19, I believe it is, by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. One day, it says, we're going to have a new body. This is not redeemed. This flesh, I'm sorry. Doctor it, paint it, do whatever you want, tuck it. It's not. No, I have a new body. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body. Philippians 3:20. Now listen, if you are a new creation, something happens. You walk and you want to walk. You desire to walk in a newness of life. That's what the Bible teaches. Paul writes to us and he says this in Romans 6:3. Do you not know that as many of us that were immersed are baptized into Christ Jesus, literally made in union with, okay? They were baptized or immersed into His death. You know what that teaches. His death is our death. His resurrection is our death, our resurrection. Amen? Okay. It says, we were baptized into His death. Paul's not talking about salvation comes by water baptism. He's not talking about that at all. He's talking about, well, salvation is by faith alone. We all know that. You can't add to it. No, but when he talks about that being baptized, water baptized or baptized there, he's using a physical example to give us a spiritual reality. You know, if you look up the word baptizo in the Greek, in my Greek study Bible, let me read to you in just a moment, but the word in my Greek study Bible means this, baptizo, defined. It means you have been placed into a new environment. So you've been baptized or immersed with Christ. Does that make sense? Okay, you've been placed into a new environment. The word baptizo means you've been placed into a new union with something else as to alter its condition and its relationship from the previous environment or condition. Now, let me give you an example. If you were with me when I taught through Romans, you're going to hear this same example. It says this is from my Greek study Bible. It says, not to be confused with bapto. The clearest example that shows that the meaning of baptizo is a text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 BC. It is a recipe for making pickles and is helpful because it uses both words. Nicander says that to make a pickle, the vegetable should first be babto, or dipped into boiling water, and then baptizo, or baptized, in the vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables into a solution, but the first is temporary. The second is the act of baptizing the vegetable produces a permanent change. In other words, if you do, what is that, a cucumber now becomes a what? A pickle. You're not a cucumber, loved one. No, praise the Lord, your new position, you are a pickle, something it's never been before. Do you understand? No, listen, your condition has changed. You're no longer in Adam. You're in Christ. You are no longer sinner. You are saint. Your condition has been permanently altered because you're a new creation, something has never existed before in your life. Now listen, Romans 6:4, it says, therefore we should also walk in a newness of life because of that, because Christ is in us. 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. Why? Well, we're a new creation in Christ. The Bible tells us not only should we walk in a newness of Christ, but we should serve the Lord with a newness. It says in Romans 7:6, therefore we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Loved one, listen to me. All things become new to the new creation. It's an adventure. It's a glorious, wonderful adventure. Yes, sometimes pain. Yes, sometimes hurt. Yes, sometimes bad times. But it's still an adventure with Jesus. There is a day, there is a new day coming. Turn, just turn in your Bible. I know you haven't been turning much because I haven't asked you to, but turn now. Go to 2 Peter with me, okay? And look at 2 Peter verse 10. I'm sorry, 2 Peter 3:10. 2 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 10. It says this, Peter writes and he says, but the day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come, meaning it's certain, it is a fact. We all know what the day of the Lord is. When the church is caught up and goes, Jesus catches us up out of this crummy world that we're in. Immediately, there's what we call the 7 years of God's wrath. They're actually the last 3.5, but they're poured out upon this planet. We call that the Great Tribulation period. Now, and then it says it's going to come, watch this day, as a thief in the night, no warning, unexpected, suddenness. And it says, which the heavens will what? There's that word. Old things pass away, all things become new, will pass away with a great noise. And the elements, meaning the air, the water, all the rest of it, will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth, the works that are in it will be burned up or laid bare. They'll be exposed. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Everything on this earth, all that man has fought for, Iran going to make more uranium, whatever. You know, North Korea, the rocket man, as they call him. I didn't call him that. It doesn't matter. Everything that man has built is going to burn up. Everything that we fought for is going to burn up. No wonder, loved one, a new creation doesn't live for the world, do we? We live for the coming new world. He goes and he says, looking for, meaning being excited, looking for, hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we at Calvary Chapel, according to his promise, that's Isaiah 65:17, by the way, where it says, for behold, I create, that's the word bara, again, I create a new heavens and a new earth, meaning out of nothing. He says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise God for that. Do you know when you arrive in heaven that God is going to write on you his new name? Can you imagine that? Come here, Bill. Let me show you something. You know, it says in Revelation 3:20, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to write on him my new name. That word literally means that we belong to God. Did you know there's going to be a new song that we're not going to be able to sing? Not us, but someone else in heaven. It says in Revelation 14:2, I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of the loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. Now, for those who do not believe on music, should be in the church on earth, you better get ready, okay? Now, I said that in love. I'm not being critical. You better be ready. Amen? Okay. And they sang, as it were, a new song. Look where they sang. Oh, let me read. Before the throne, before the four living creatures, before the elders, that's the church crowned. They're sitting with the Lord. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. In other words, purchased and brought into the millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now listen, can you imagine 144,000 people singing a new song, standing right before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, right before the throne? And you know what? Why is it restricted to the 144,000? We're not told. He just gives us no reason. But I know this, one day you're going to hear it. I'm going to be with you. We're going to be there together. We're going to, at this moment, listen, turn to your Bibles in the book of Revelation. Go to chapter 21 with me. Look at this incredible place that we're going, a new creation where we're going, where everything will be new. Revelation 21:1. John the Apostle, there he is. He's looking into the Spirit and so forth. He's been transported to heaven. You know what happened. He says, and I saw what kind of heaven? A new heaven, loved one. Not an old heaven, but a new heaven for a new creation and a new earth. Why? Well, the first heaven, the first earth, there's that word again. Old things have what? Passed away. And there will be no more sea. Man, everything will be new. It's a whole new time, a whole new world. I don't know why there's not going to be any more sea. You know, some people believe, like Spurgeon, which I love old Spurgeon. He believed that the reason there was no more sea, it was just a symbol, meaning there, the sea separates lands or people, amen? But he's saying in heaven there'll be no division, there'll be no separation. Whether that's a fact or not, it doesn't matter to me, okay? I don't like the ocean. You know, boom, 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 you know. I don't want any part of that. No. Look at verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. We are going to be in the presence of God. We're going to enjoy the God himself forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And God, you know this scripture, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You know, I prayed before I got up here. I said, Lord, I don't want any tears when I get back in the pulpit. They're going to start thinking I'm really a sissy. And God says, son, I'm serious, Holy Spirit spoke to me. Tears are going to be around until you get to heaven. It's the true word. I said, oh, man. Lord, you have an answer for everything, don't you? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a new world for a new creation with a brand new body. Amen? I look at that and I say, oh my gosh, you think of all the countless tears that have been wept here upon this planet. And you know what? When we get there, this new world, it's going to be a place where no one can cry, will cry, even think about the word. It's erased from their mind. They're speaking, they're thinking for all eternity. No more tears. And it says no more death. Never. No sick beds. None of those tubes keep you alive. No more undertakers and funeral homes and no more cemeteries. And it says no more pain, meaning no more pain of any kind. No doctors in heaven. You know what I meant by that. They're there, but they're not doctors. Amen? Oh, no hospitals because there's no sickness. There is absolutely no disease. Matter of fact, there's not even a sun or moon. The Lord, the Lamb is the light. Amen? And it says, then it says no sorrow. Meaning no sorrow of any kind, no grief counselors, no broken hearts, no murderers, no penitentiaries, no thieves, no people that hurt other people, no pornography. Wicked. No pornography. No. No child molesters. No one who sells little children into sex slavery. I want you to listen to me. We're born from above, thank God. We're new creations in Christ. We need to live it and act it. Enjoy it. Because we live in a dirty city. We We live in a dirty America filled with dirty minds and dirty mouths. Our songs that they play today, they are dirty. The internet is dirty. Cable TV is dirty. We live, I'm reading it just like I wrote it. We live in a dirty, contaminated, unclean, defiled, filthy nation. A nation that says to those who call out sin, hate speech. Hate sin, but not the sinner. The church should never hate the sinner. We're all sinners, saved by grace. But we hate the sin. But they call us out. And they call it hate speech. You can't say those things. Changing the First and Second Amendment is what they're wanting to do. We live in a nation where a million people celebrate, like they did here recently, I guess it was New York or wherever, Gay Pride Month. I don't have a problem with that. They're people that need to be saved. And I love people. Jesus was a friend to tax collectors and sinners. Not applauding sin, saving them from sin. There in the parade, my question is why did all the major magazines have to put those pictures and those photographs of men exposing themselves and women exposing themselves in the areas they should be exposing themselves in? But don't you say anything about that. If you do, boy, that is hate speech. You know how silly that is? Listen to me. That is silly. Let me show you how silly it is. I want to apologize for what I said 63 years ago to my first grade students. I want to apologize for Judy Garner. I'm sorry I called you freckle-faced. But you were freckle-faced, and you had red hair, and I wanted you to be my girlfriend, but she wouldn't. Freckle-faced. Fad Isabel, first grade, you moocher. I'm sorry, I should have never called you a moocher because, see, I didn't have any lunch, but the lunch I had, you mooched. It's all right. Ellen Arterberry, taller than me, taller than anyone in the class, skinny as a beanpole, but I didn't call you skinny. I called you four eyes. I'm sorry. I repent. I want America to know. I want my first grade classmates, if any, are still alive. I want you to know that I've grown since then. And I recognize how wrong I was. Is that the most absurd thing you've ever heard? Do you see what I'm getting at? This is where we live, and we're living in this time. New creations, we're living in this time. We're living in a time when our own city allows the atheist groups to come in and put posters all over downtown Fort Worth to announce their July 14th event. And what do the posters say? In no God we trust. Okay, well, you did that. Why would you do that? The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, not his mind. Boy, that's an atheist in the heart. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God says, you're corrupt. Your works are abominable. That's what the Lord says. Listen, I want to know, I'm asking a question. And my wife and I, we've discussed this. I want to know why America, with all the protests that we're doing, all the marching and everybody trying to have their rights. You can't say this. You can't do, I can live anything, say anything I want to. Tolerance is practiced, except we don't tolerate Christians. Why doesn't the church, just the church in Texas? No, just the church in Fort Worth, all the churches. All the new creations in Christ, with all this protesting so I can sin any way I want to, why isn't anyone standing up and marching the streets and protesting and crying out for the end of child sex trafficking in our city? Why isn't that happening when we are the major hub, one of the major hubs now, Fort Worth, in America? Why aren't we marching about that? Why aren't we doing something about that? And I'll tell you why. Well, because we live in the midst of an unclean people with unclean lips and unclean hearts who love darkness more than light. It's time for God's whirlwind. Do you understand? It's time for the whirlwind of God. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said this, "The strength or weakness of a society depends more on the level of its spiritual life than on its level of industrialization. Neither a market economy nor even general abundance constitutes the crowning achievement of human life. If a nation's spiritual energies have been exhausted, it will not be saved from collapse by the most perfect government structure or by any industrial development. A tree with a rotten core cannot stand." Incredible words written, and how true. It says one day, loved one. What is Jesus going to say in Revelation 21:5? He's going to say this. John says, "He who sat on the throne, he says, behold, I make all things new." What a glorious moment we will be there. We will experience that, loved one. But you know what? Those that are not new creations, you know what the Bible says in Revelation 21:8 to people who are lost, that Jesus is not their Lord? But the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, will have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, meaning the second death, separated from Christ, separated from God and all that God is, his goodness, his love, forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, if you are a new creation this morning, and I want you to be honest. You have to be honest because it's time to wake up. If you are a new creation this morning, you have a name that you're alive, but really you're dead. If you call yourself new creation, but something happened, I started out, I was on fire, and I've kind of... walked away, I've left my first love, Jesus. If you have done that, listen to me now. I know why. We live, and I'll bring this up next Sunday. We live in a time in Christendom where believers, new creations, they have devised something new. The new doctrine of grace. They've devised a new doctrine of grace that permits them to live no differently than the unbelievers live. That's where we are. That's the moment we're in right this minute. We need to get right with God. We need to return to our first love. We need to repent. We need to go to the Lord, like he said, that new and living way by the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this day, for this word, this rhema from heaven. And Lord God, as our heads are bowed, I'm only speaking to Christians. I'm only speaking to new creations. If you're here this morning, no one looking around and every believer praying. If you have walked away from your first love, if you have a name, I used to be alive, but now I'm really dead. Repent. Lift your hand to the Lord right now. Yes, that's right. Yes, 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 that's right. Yes, yes, thank you. Yes, yes. God bless you. Yes. Lord, you see hands, you see hearts, you see it today. Today, we remove that false new doctrine of grace. Throw it out. Today, we return. We are new creations. we walk in a newness of life. We serve in a newness of the Spirit by the power of the Spirit. We are cleansed right now, restored by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh God, thank you. Thank you that for that incredible throne of grace where we can come and find mercy and help and grace in time of need and obtain it. There's no one like you. For if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We give you praise. We give you glory. In the precious, mighty name of Jesus, we are your new creations. In Jesus' name. And the church says,